This week we're going to start with Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. We have to purpose some things. We have to decide some things. Not just go through life kind of willy-nilly hoping it works out. Daniel knew he was in a land that did not honor God, and he was careful then about his choices. We live in such a land. We shouldn't pretend that Canada is a Christian nation any more than we should pretend the United States is a Christian nation. They were. Not now. Not with the choices. I'm not their judge, but when you look at their choices, what? Just saying, I believe in Jesus, what does that do? I want to see some proof, and God is looking for proof of such a thing. But we're not here to talk about those things. But I'm just saying, Daniel knew where he was, and so he was careful about his choices. His Jewish heritage had some specific laws about what one should eat and not eat. Leviticus 11, verses 1 to 31, and Deuteronomy 14, 3 to 21. You can have a look at those. I discovered in some of my research this week that the list of edibles and non-edibles in Deuteronomy contains some things that are not mentioned in Leviticus. Well, what was that all about? The reason for this is because in Leviticus, Israel had not yet traveled through the wilderness. Another place, another dynamic of animals and creatures and foods and everything else. God's laws to his children are not merely religious. The reason I point this out is because God's laws to his children are not merely religious rules that man must obey. God has a logic and a reason. It's above ours. We call it not logical. No, it's all logical. It's something other than we're able to comprehend. But it is very stable and has great, profound wisdom. So these aren't just religious rules that we obey, but rather a parameter with which man must remain inside in order to be kept safe from his surroundings. We don't have much of that today. I called the police before you got here this morning. Somebody left an unsafe article on the step of the church because their life choices meant they needed that. No parameters. No parameters. Not law that strangles us to death. Healthy parameters. The king's delicacies and the king's wine were disqualified on two fronts. First, they have been forbidden as non-edible for God's children, the Jews. You'll see that in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Second, Babylon was full of idolatry. It was likely the king of Babylon never consumed anything without it having first been presented as an offering to one of the many idols in the country. First of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. Stay away. Stay back. Have you seen hydro fences? Stay back how many feet? How many meters? I was in the hydro station on the highway a number of years ago now with a crane truck, feeling rather nervous. I stopped at the office and the guy said, follow me. And said, you bet. I'm not even going to twitch without your permission. And they backed me into the midst of all this humming and roaring, and I didn't want to take the crane off the rack. And he said, don't do anything. So he brought a ground line out and bolted it down to the frame of the truck and told him to stay there on the ground. He said, okay, go ahead, bring it around. You've got this much safety. Bring it in within this. And lifted a motor out of a generator thing they'd shut down. But just needless to say that parameters were very important. And I had to obey the parameters because I knew it was dangerous, but I didn't know how dangerous. But the man I listened to did. We don't know how dangerous life can be. But God does. So we could wait till we make a mistake. Or we could be careful and avoid making the mistake. Staying in the Word, reading what God's will is for us, discovering that. So, not eating the king's delicacies was a matter of Daniel being obedient to the king of heaven, regardless of where that put him in the eyes of the king of Babylon. Ah, we always only have an audience of one. Seriously. Not free to do my own thing, but free within the parameters that God sets for me. Yeah. National pride and the political posturing of leaders is of little notice to God and of little use in the kingdom of heaven. I find this a little startling. Let me quote a couple of verses for you. Isaiah 40, verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. No big deal. Isaiah 40, verse 17. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. I'm not talking about the people in the nations. I'm talking about the whole thing when we begin to celebrate nations. Some people even celebrate denominations. They're of very little to God. His will is important and people are precious. The actual structure, it's a skeleton. You have to have something. Somebody has to lead. I'm not saying anarchy. I'm not against government. I'm just saying sometimes we may expect too much from our government. We treat them as our savior. Therefore, if it doesn't work quite right, we get all upset. Because we were counting on it. Maybe counting on the wrong thing. Make no mistake, every person on the face of the earth is of great importance to the Lord. However, God didn't send his son to build nations. He sent him to save people and build his church. Political parties and national pride are of little importance to God. I don't say be ashamed of your nation, but you don't have to put all that faith in it either. Put your faith in God. Be honorable in your nation. Be honest with your brother and sister. Put your faith in God. You can't put your faith in people either. We have to put our faith in God and work with one another to be faithful. Nations are just conglomerates of people. We shouldn't expect too much from them. We should pray for our leaders. Now here's how we should pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So when we pray for our nations, these are the priorities, these are the things that are important to God, that all men would be saved. But sometimes we expect too much. And when we expect too much, we get greatly disappointed. And then our Christian witness becomes tainted. Because we're cranky and insulting about leaders that are only in charge of government. And we become ill-focused. We should pray for them. Pray that the Father would draw them to Jesus. Pray that they make right choices. And don't be consumed by what we consider to be their wrong choices. Pray for them. Actually, God can use wrong choices sometimes better than right choices. A little more painful, but he works through everything. Nebuchadnezzar's diet was given to Daniel and his friends in an effort to make them obedient to him instead of God. That's why he was doing this. It's not clear as to whether he actually thought he was God or not, but he certainly thought a lot of his governance over Babylon, and this to point out of interfering with God's will. Doesn't matter whether he actually thought he was God or not, he was interfering with God's will. He wanted his will. And therefore, he was taking that place of God. So God moves Daniel to put forth a proposition, a challenge, really. Rather than being belligerent about the diet, he says to the chief of the eunuchs, "Give us vegetables and water to drink for 10 days instead of the king's diet, and see how we're doing after that." Daniel chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. A quote from Dr. Jerry Benjamin. "When's the last time you saw a fat vegetarian?" Yeah. There are people who will read this passage and tell us that it's not God's will to eat meat. That is not the point of these verses at all. This was the beginning of God doing the impossible in a nation that desperately needed to believe in something more than themselves and their idolatry, which they practiced religiously. God was showing himself to this belligerent nation. Daniel 1, 17 to 21. "As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus." Wow. So they were schooled in Babylonian thought, Daniel and his friends, for 3 years, along with the other chosen ones from Chaldea. But note verse 17 again. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. You know what that means? It means when they're reading what they were supposed to read and learning what they were supposed to read, God was telling them what they were actually reading. In other words, they were seeing it through his eyes. Instead of buying all this bunk about idolatry and everything else and astrology, they were reading it all right, but they were able to say, "Wait a minute." And God was able to direct them. Not that way, this way. Not that way, this way. When's the last time God taught you something by allowing you to experience your mistake? Does that ever happen to you? Happens to me all the time. So God is very wise in all this. So it was no threat for them to go through this education, because God was actually in the classroom saying, "Excuse me, that's not good. No, this is what you need to understand." You can learn actually more from a person's mistakes than you can from anything else. Sometimes you can have somebody else teach you something and you know it's wrong, but God will teach you through what they're doing. He'll teach you not to be like that. That's how he works. That's how close he is. He was taking over the classroom. And he gave these young men. He gave knowledge and skill and wisdom. And Daniel, he gave interpretation of visions. When Nebuchadnezzar interviewed Daniel and his friends, he found them to be 10 times wiser than all the magicians and astrologers in his realm. Wow, wonder how that happened. Exactly. This was God's position for Daniel in Babylon until the time of King Cyrus. Daniel did not earn this position. God put him in this position. He was not able in and of himself to be and do where he was, to function as he was called to by the king of Babylon in this position. God put him there. In all of them, in and of themselves, Daniel and his friends were no wiser than anyone else. But they were more dependent on God in their position than anyone else at the time. Where are you? In your position. Well, sure, I mean, you know what you're doing. Really? Do you know what God's doing? Never thought of that. In your position. I mean, what's God's will in the world? He's trying to get everybody saved. Everybody. And so here we are doing our position, and you know how to do your position. Do you ever give some thought to maybe what God might want to do in that day? Just think about it. It's just enough to open yourself up so that he can do that. And in your position, you will have occasion, not all the time, but it will come up, where you'll be sharing with somebody, you'll be able to offer somebody comfort, offer somebody wisdom. And what is that? It's being aware of God in your surroundings. More aware even of God than, or at least as much of God as you are your surroundings. And what he might be up to. You see, his logic is above our ability to reason. So just stay open to God and he'll involve you in the details. You go home, sometimes you won't even know what you did. And life becomes a whole lot simpler. I like my job to be as simple as possible. I like my life to be as simple as possible. And the best way to do that is to follow close to God. So close that you're walking in the dust of his footsteps. And if we pay attention, that's possible. And your day will look so normal. Except for the people that you've touched that day. They will never forget that. Never forget that. Because when God speaks through us, it leaves a mark. It leaves a stake in somebody's life. And they'll either cling to it, or they'll never forget it. Either way, God did a work. You've heard me say this before. I still remember the day and the place. I can't tell you what year it was, but I remember the day and the place where God rebuked me through a drunk. The man was hammered. And he was saying some things he never even knew. And I went, oh, he cut me like a knife. And I thought, whoa. Well, of course, if he could speak through Balaam's donkey, he can speak through all of us. All of us. So don't worry about being known to people or having a reputation like that. Have a good reputation, but don't worry about those kind of things. Be more concerned about the one who knows you, knows what he wants to do next, knows where you are, and he knows where he would have you. Ah. Then your day becomes exciting. I ended up being a preacher that drove a truck. I went from being a truck driver to being a preacher that drove a truck. In every area where you find yourself, God is active and alive. Don't go taking on projects for yourself because you think, oh, well, this really needs to be done, so I'm going to do this for God, or this needs to be straightened out, so I'm going to straighten out this. Don't do that. Just live under the shadow, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Allow him to overshadow you in all things. So the people won't even see you maybe. They'll forget your name. But they'll never forget what God said through you. Never. God will see to it. And your life becomes a whole lot simpler. Trying to get used to ministry, I'd come home when I was in Alberta, and I felt like I'd done nothing all day. And Maria helped me with that. She said, well, tell me about your day. Well, I did this and 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 that and that and this and that. She looked at me and said, and you did nothing? Oh, yeah. I was looking to try to identify it. Couldn't nail it down exactly. I was just out and about and available. Wow. That's all it is. And wait for the moment. So the whole thing becomes a lot easier than we might think. We're trying to orchestrate everything and build it up. And how exhausting is that, Maria? Are you tired today? Yeah. But the little things, the pliers, the little things. God works marvelously in the little things. And if we become more about that, we'll become more at ease with life that has us so frightened. And life can get pretty big and pretty scary. But you do know how to eat an elephant, don't you? One bite at a time. Stop looking so far down the road and look up. Now you're starting to act like a child. Children walk doing that. They're looking up. Listen to the birds, looking to the... That's what they do. They look down once in a while just to pick up a rock or a bug. Wow. You say, Wayne, life can't be that simple. Yes, it can. It truly can. But we'll have to be aware of our surroundings. We'll have to plan to pay attention to God. You don't have a natural radar for God. Sorry, you don't. It's what we have is called faith. And so you have to remember to have faith. You got to keep plugging faith in, like microphones and such. You have to keep plugging it in. But we need to be aware and we need to do that. God's position for Daniel here in Babylon. Don't be any big deal, Daniel. Just honor me. That's what he did. He ended up getting honored through the entire nation. It was beautiful. The wisdom of God is never something people possess. It's always something that people need to make room for and remain open to. And desperate times will help us with this. That's where I'm going to stop. Desperate times will help us with this. Let me do that again. It's something that people, the wisdom of God is something that people need to make room for. Okay? So your logic is going to fail you. Admit that. Make room for and remain open to. Guys, we'll have trouble with that. It's called our ego. We get locked into something. We're going to solve this problem because... We got to stop that and stay open to God. Desperate times will help us with that. This was a desperate time for Daniel and his three friends. But God was there. Jerry Benjamin said, the safest place is to be with God in the fire. And there's fire in this story. That's the safest place. Not trying to run away from the fire, not trying to put the fire out. To be with God in the fire. Yeah. Amen.